estimates $320 billion has already been spent in Iraq and Afghanistan, including $50 billion Congress approved last month. George Bush now urging Congress to renew and make permanent a just-expired tax break for research and development. Bush says it'll help U.S. companies keep pace in a fast-changing world economy, the proposal part of the so-called competitiveness agenda that Bush unveiled in the State of the Union. He promoted the plan today in a visit to 3M company headquarters in Minnesota. He says products like iPods and DVD players make clear R&D is vital to the U.S. economy. And he says with countries like China and India advancing rapidly, America has to improve the skills of its workforce to stay on the cutting edge. The U.S. and South Korea, meanwhile, have agreed to launch free trade talks. The U.S. trade representative says few countries better represent the promise of open markets, democracy, and economic reform than South Korea. Rob Portman made the comments at a ceremony at the U.S. Capitol announcing the talks. If a deal is worked out, Americans might see cheaper prices for such things as South Korean cars, cell phones, TVs, and other consumer goods, but critics are concerned that more U.S. jobs might head overseas. The new Republican leader in the House says they will deal with big issues that American people expect them to deal with, like the economy and national security. That pledge from the newly elected House Majority Leader, John Boehner of Ohio. He defeated the frontrunner, Roy Blunt of Missouri, in the vote to choose a successor to Tom DeLay. Blunt had been filling in as Majority Leader following the resignation from the job of Tom DeLay, who is under indictment in an alleged campaign finance scheme. Blunt was the leader after the first ballot, then Boehner won on the second. This is Air America Radio News.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks for tuning in tonight. We're going to talk a little bit tonight about the death of free speech at the National Press Club. Oh, my God. Yeah, the murderer-in-chief, Rumsfeld, was there today and was interrupted by a protester. And what happened subsequent to that interruption is just astonishing. Also, some double plus ungood non-answers from non-persons at the non-existent Senate Intelligence Committee non-hearing on worldwide threats to us here in Oceania. And plus more Bush administration lies regarding the Valerie Plame investigation and Nigerian uranium and the Niger uranium, not Nigeria, my bad. And the Bush-Blair discussion of an Iraq invasion you weren't supposed to hear about, and you aren't supposed to hear about now because you're not going to hear about it in American media. It's being reported in the British media. That story is almost sucked down the memory hole. We are so living in 1984, my reading from the novel seems almost tediously redundant, doesn't it? Quick item here. I mentioned this last night. But here it is again. Oil refiners in the United States are cutting fuel production in some states this week, gasoline fuel production. And they're doing that to counter slipping profit margins. That's right. This is not a misprint. This is in the Houston Chronicle. These folks have made more money than any corporation. The oil companies are reporting profits that are astonishing. They're beyond anything the most greedy, pig-eyed capitalists could ever have imagined. Who was ExxonMobil? 2 days ago, 3 days ago, posted a record profit of $11 billion in one quarter. One quarter. $36 billion profit for the year just ended. Anyway, so the refineries that make gasoline. Now, remember what the little right-wing snakes will tell you, people like Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and the rest of these pigs, that the reason gasoline prices are so high is because there aren't refineries to produce enough. And why aren't there refineries to produce enough? Well, because the environmentalists have forced the oil industry to not build a refinery in the past 20 years, a new one, or whatever their lie is. These dumb little bastards, you know, I swear to God, I would like to just slap the face of Hannity or Limbaugh, and ever given a chance, I probably would, and suffer the consequences for it. I'd be immediately charged with assault. I understand that. But to be constantly pouring into the public discourse those kinds of lies. You know what? Well, I just wonder sometimes. What does the pig man and the piglet do when they see these articles? And they must see these. For Christ's sake, this is in the Houston Chronicle. That the gasoline refineries are cutting back production because they don't feel their profit margins are high enough. Now, for example, this company Valero Energy, based in San Antonio, Texas, that is the nation's largest fuel producer, gasoline. Said 2 days ago, it slowed output from its refinery in Ohio by more than 10% for economic reasons. Now, they said this as the company announced its 10th straight quarter of record earnings. British energy giant BP, British Petroleum, slashed fuel production from its refinery in Whiting, Indiana by 10 to 15% because lower profit margins. Even though they have shown record profit, it just doesn't stop. Now, the average price of gasoline in the United States right now is, $2.40, $2.50 a gallon, 50, 60, 70 cents higher than a year ago. The only industry in America that is making, in history, that's making these kind of profits is the oil industry. And Bush gets out there on the State of the Union and talks about we're addicted to oil. You son of a bitch. You, it's incredible, incredible. While the people who put him in office, the energy industry, the oil industry, Dick Cheney, just sit back and continue the rape and pillage. It's astonishing. It's just astonishing. It's just unbelievable. Oh, I'm serious. I would like to get Sean Hannity and tie him up and take a bar of lava soap and wash his mouth out. That's what my grandmother used to do if I would lie. And the pig man, if I could find a chair big enough to hold his lardy ass and tie him up and just deny him Oxycontin pills and watch him go insane. The lies they put out there. Iran right now, of course, is the hated enemy of the Bush crime family because Iran has enormous oil resources, and Iran is run by folks who raise the middle finger to Bush every chance they get. They're just what do you mean we can't have a nuclear industry? We'll do any damn thing we want to. Now, whether you agree or disagree with the government of Iran, and it's my understanding from talking with Iranians in this country that they, the Iranians, would love to see the mullahs out of power. But they don't want to see their country invaded by a bunch of psychopaths from the West. Anyway, that's all subtleties and nuances. The truth is, Bush doesn't care. Bush sees oil, and his groin starts to stiffen. Oil? Or is that Cheney? But Iran is not so great an enemy that we will not join forces with them to fight the queers. That's right. The United States has sided with Iran and Sudan. Are there any two weirder governments on earth right now? The Sudan, which is run by killers, and Iran, which is run by mullahs, and we're supposed to hate Iran. You know, they are East Asia. We have always been at war with East Asia. We need to hate Iran. But here's the story. The United States voted with Iran and three other anti-gay countries at the United Nations to deny observer status to two gay rights groups at the UN. That's all. Rawstory.com is reporting this. The UN Committee on Non-Governmental Organizations of the United Nations Economic and Social Council voted about a week ago to deny the International Lesbian and Gay Association of Brussels and the Danish National Association for Gays and Lesbians of Denmark consultative status at the UN. Now, what is consultative status? There are 3,000 non-government organizations who have consultative status at the UN. They have no power, nothing. All it does is allow these groups to send an official representative to UN proceedings, to be present at UN conferences, and the right to propose, even if nobody listens to them, agenda items. Oh, we think it's not right to attack gays on the streets of Paris. Oh, sorry, you can't, you're not going to introduce that. No. Mm-mm. Now, the International Lesbian and Gay Association already operates in 90 countries, including the United States. What is the function of it? To reduce discrimination, murder, mayhem, assault, robbery, bigotry, pounding, screaming, beating of gay folk, lesbian people, bisexuals, and transgenders. And to respond to homophobic attacks. But no matter what, I mean, even the Iranians, we're supposed to hate, the new president of Iran is really Goldstein. That's really Emmanuel Goldstein. We're supposed to hate him, hate him, hate him, hate him, hate him. But the Bush crime family will align with him in order to make a stand against gay folk. I swear to Christ, we live in hell.
Johnson marked the outline where the boy first dropped. Beware the Holy Trinity, church and state and law. For every death the virus gets more deadly than before. Homophobia, the worst disease. You can't love who you want to love in times like these. Homophobia, the worst disease. You can't love who you want to love in times like these. Homophobia.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
Dave, you can't sit outside on the window ledge with your laptop. We're on the 19th floor.
I can't sit next to Bob. He looks terrible.
Dave, try my Emergen-C. The powder in the little packets loaded with vitamin C, B vitamins, and essential minerals. Just mix it in your water.
Oh, it's fizzing.
That's Emergen-C. It gives your immune system a boost. Now, Dave, please come back inside.
I will, for a few packets of your Emergen-C. Besides, I think that pigeon just sneezed.
Emergen-C for life. Find it in the vitamin C section.
living up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 22 past the hour. You're not going to hear this in American media anywhere that I'm aware of. I don't know who's going to pick it up, unless some of you folks already have seen it or heard it, and I just missed it. It's in the Guardian of the UK, though. It's about more memos. The newest ones reveal that George Bush told Tony Blair that the United States was going to war. It didn't make any difference what the UN said. Now, we already know that, but Blair backed the invasion, despite warnings from his legal advisors in the UK that it was an illegal thing to do. And then Bush had this cockamamie idea to disguise American airplanes, cover the American insignia, and put in place of it UN insignia. That's how sick these sons of bitches are. Huh? Let me quote a little bit from The Guardian. Tony Blair told President Bush today, or back then, that he was solidly behind U.S. plans to invade Iraq before Blair sought advice about the invasion's legality and despite the absence of that key second U.N. resolution. Remember that? That's according to a new account of the buildup to the war published today. A memo of a two-hour meeting between Blair and Bush at the White House, January 31st, 2003, nearly 2 months before the invasion, reveals that Bush made it clear the U.S. intended to invade whether or not there was a second resolution. And even if U.N. inspectors found no evidence of Iraqi weapons. This is how bad it is. You know, you hear people like me and other people on this network, people work independent of Air America, talk about, well, you know, he lied to take us to war. And it just, it's getting overused. It goes in one ear, not the other. But this is incredible. This is unbelievable. That's why you're not going to hear it in American media. It says here, the diplomatic strategy had to be arranged around the military planning, the president told Blair. Sound familiar? The prime minister is said to have raised no objection. He is quoted as saying he was solidly with the president, ready to do whatever it took to disarm Saddam, even though there was nothing to disarm. These disclosures come in a new edition of this book, Lawless World, by Philip Sands, a professor of international law at University College London. Professor Sands last year exposed the doubt shared by Foreign Office lawyers about the legality of the invasion in disclosures which eventually forced the Prime Minister, Blair, to publish the full legal advice given to him by the Attorney General, Lord Goldsmith. Now, the memo seen by Professor Sands reveals the following. Bush told Blair that the U.S. was so worried about the failure to find hard evidence against Saddam that it thought of, quote, flying U-2 reconnaissance aircraft planes with fighter cover over Iraq, painted in U.N. colors. If Saddam fired on them, he would be in breach of U.N. resolutions. Jesus Christ! Do you understand what this man did? Next, Bush even expressed the hope that a defector would be extracted from Iraq to give, quote, a public presentation about Saddam's weapons. End quote. He is also said to have referred to Blair to the small possibility that Saddam could be assassinated. Next, Mr. Blair told the U.S. president that a second U.N. resolution would be an insurance policy providing international cover, including with the Arabs, if anything went wrong with the military campaign, like burning oil wells or dead children. Bush told Blair that he, quote, thought it unlikely that there would be internecine warfare between the different religious and ethnic groups in Iraq. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to say anymore. Do you think, Truth Seeker, for a moment that we don't have at the helm of this country a true criminal enterprise? Every single day that these items, these little peeks into what these killers did and continue to do. It doesn't make any difference. The audacity of someone like Bush and the people behind him. Bush is just a cold-blooded, psychopathic son of a bitch. He doesn't care if somebody comes up to him and says, you can't torture. Yes, I can. You can't wire. Yes, I can. And I keep doing it. This is a man who's so really a sociopath, and he's leading the United States. Does that worry you? Does that worry you at all? It worries me. So much for the lies of the Bush bastard about going to war with Saddam's choice. Remember that? Sending troops into battle was the last thing I wanted to do. How many times has he said that? How many times has this lying, dog-faced bastard said that repeatedly to the American public? That's the last thing I wanted to do. It's Saddam's fault. I didn't want to send troops. We'll be right back.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Well, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy. Taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
You're already doing what's hard for your health. You diet. That's hard. You do regular exercise. That's harder. You even get a colonoscopy. The hardest. If your doctor says you're at risk for a heart attack, he could tell you that adding Bayer low dose is a simple way to help prevent 1 out of 3 heart attacks. Now that's simple. Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. Bayer low dose. A little does a lot.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
Hi, I'm David Orrick. The way I see it, there's more to vacuuming than picking up the dirt that Spot tracked in. Even more critical is the dust that can carry germs and those nasty allergens. Try a hypoallergenic 8-pound Orrick XL free for 30 days or for free literature. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. Because when it comes to dust, you can trap it in my vacuum or let your loved ones breathe it in. What's your pleasure?
Saddam Hussein aids and protects terrorists, including members of Al-Qaeda.
I don't think there's any doubt left that we live in the... There hasn't been any doubt for me for the past 25 years, but is there for you that we live in the number one terrorist nation on Earth? We really do. It's not Egypt. It's not Iran. It's not China. It's not who else? It's not Sudan. It's us. And then this little item, this is from the... It's from Insider Magazine, and the article comes to me via Rockford, Illinois newspaper, the Rock River Times. A source inside the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation. Okay, a source inside the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation told Insider Magazine that Florida Governor Jeb Bush has ordered the shredding of documents and public records. A clear violation of Florida law, the department has oversight and approval of state gaming licenses, slot machines, dog tracks, horse tracks, and highlight games. The source, who asked to remain anonymous, said the governor also has brought in personnel from Texas to replace key members of his staff in Tallahassee. The Texans are overseeing the destruction of state documents, according to the source. A source in the FBI confirmed that public records are being destroyed on orders of Jeb Bush. The source in the FBI said the governor may have taken that action in response to the continuing criminal probe of Republican lobbyist Jack Abramoff and the federal investigation of the 2001 gangland murder in Miami of Gus Boulos, owner of the Sun Cruise casino boat. And some of you wonder why I call it a crime family. Now, that's not a new story. That's been out there for a couple, 3 days. I just haven't mentioned it yet. Barbara Bush, the old bitch who produced all of these sons of hers, who, I mean, I've said it before, has ever a collection of murderers, killers, bunco artists, robbers, thieves, and charlatans ever crawled out of one womb? Like this gang? All these, and what did George Bush say at last night, or the other night, State of the Union? That did he say his mother's two best friends are his dad and President Clinton? Was that it? Or I don't know. Anyway, linking the two, all of a sudden, you know, Bill Clinton and Pappy Bush have become best friends. And Barbara Bush... You know, this evil bitch who is right out of Alien finds favor with Bill Clinton. How can Bill Clinton do that? You people who love Bill Clinton, tell me, how does this work? Okay? Tell me how this works. Really. I mean, send me an email. Mike@MikeMalloy.com. Send me an email. Tell me how your hero, and I don't have the sarcasm valve open. I mean it. Your hero, Bill Clinton, how does he reconcile or justify hanging with these killers, with these bunco artists, fraudsters, murderers, rapists? How does he do that? And don't tell me about the tsunami. That's horse crap, okay? How does Bush hang with this group of degenerates? How does that work? Somebody want to tell me how that works? I really, really, really am curious. Clinton's very charming. He is. Every time he gets up and talks, I'm going to listen. Of all the politicians, presidents who have been out there since when? I don't know, since Roosevelt, and I was too young for Roosevelt. But I've heard that Roosevelt was pretty good at communicating. Screw Ronald Reagan, you know, that great communicator lie. Forget that. But who? Who among all the presidents have been a slick Willie? Great communicator. Love to listen to him. Just a fact machine. Just bring up any topic, and Clinton could go for hours about it. Brilliant, brilliant Rhodes Scholar. Brilliant man. No question. So somebody tell me, what's up with this relationship with the Bush crime family? Not that I give a damn, but I don't know. So Jeb Bush is down there. I wonder if Fawn Hall and Oliver North are down there boinking each other and running the shredding machine. That's what they did during the Iran-Contra thing. What did Oliver North say? He raised his hand. He said, I only have two people I swear allegiance to, my president and my wife. Or something like that. Remember that? Remember all that stuff about his wife? Remember that? Well, he and Fawn Hall were just doing each other as often as they got a couple of bunny rabbits while they were shredding documents that contained incriminating evidence about everyone in the in the Reagan crime family. Well, is something wrong with shredding documents? Jesus, God. Now, this new guy that has taken over Tom DeLay's old post, John Boehner, Republican from Ohio, according to Toby Chaudhuri, who is the communications director for this organization, Campaign for America's Future, good outfit, good organization. I got an email from him, press release. Tony Chaudhuri points out, quote, the majority leader's office has been used as a front for corporate lobbyists, creating the most corrupt Congress in recent history. Corruption won't go away under the new Republican leadership, end quote. That's true. John Boehner gave nearly $150,000 to colleagues from his political action committee to influence today's vote that gave him the position of a majority leader. That's according to fundraising records he filed with the Federal Election Commission 2 days ago. And reported today in the Capitol newspaper. The Hill, that's the newspaper, reported that Representative Boehner gave $150,000 to 30 Republican colleagues on December 15th. And more than a dozen of these Republicans receiving money from Representative Boehner declared their intention to vote for him ahead of today's vote. This, you know, talk about say hello to the new boss, same as the old boss. Are you serious? The Republicans are so corrupt, they buy and steal elections from each other. This poor, dumb, who's the guy he beat? The one that took over from Tom DeLay? Oh, Christ. Oh, my God. They're awful. They're awful. From ourfuture.org, which is... Campaign for America's Future. Boehner likes to travel on the dime of special interests. A group of Washington lobbyists led by Richard Kessler spent millions of dollars taking lawmakers to European capitals, U.S. resorts, skirting congressional ethics rules that forbid registered lobbyists from paying for congressional travel. John Boehner took two trips, costing a total of at least $14,000. Boehner has connections to the Abramoff scandal. Boehner voted 96% of the time between 1991 and 2005. That's 14 years. 96% of the time he voted the same way as Tom DeLay. Boehner has close ties to the K Street lobbying cabal, just like Tom DeLay. Boehner raises money from the industries he regulates. Now get this. Boehner chairs the powerful Committee on Education and the Workforce, which has jurisdiction over minimum wage, worker safety and compensation, employee protections, as well as student loan policy. Oh, Jesus. Right? So what does Boehner do? He tells the banks that handles the student loans, contribute lots of money to me, and I'll see that the interest rates against these little chuckle-headed college boys and girls is raised. He also he serves as vice chair of the Committee on Agriculture, which has jurisdiction over a lot of agribusinesses like the tobacco industry. So from student loans to tobacco, Boehner has special interests all over the place. This guy has a perpetual tan and smokes cigarettes. Well, the fact that he's a chain smoker, that's good. That's real good. Maybe he won't be around long enough to do too much damage. Boehner's 10th highest contributor is tobacco giant RGR Nabisco. Nabisco. he takes thousands and thousands of dollars from the tobacco industry political action committees to stymie any kind of activity against the tobacco industry in Washington. Boehner supported legislation that benefits banks that make student loans and increase payments for millions of students. According to the Campaign for America's Future, this is what I'm quoting from here, Tony Chaudhuri's, Toby, I said Tony, didn't I? Toby Chittery's organization. Between 2003 and 2004, what is it, a year, banks and other institutions that provide loans to students donated $60,000 to Boehner and $70,000 to his leadership political action committee, the so-called Freedom Project. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. On and on and on and on and on and on. Now, Boehner was called, after the election today, Representative Jeff Flake, love that name, Republican of Arizona, called Boehner a fresh face. No, I don't think so. Back in 1998, Boehner was in the leadership ranks of the Republican Party, but they took an ass whipping in the election, so he was ousted. 8 years later, here he is again, and they call him a fresh face.
How do you say his name?
Boehner.
I think you just like saying it.
What, is there a different way to say his name? I don't care. This is Boehner. That's Boehner, dude.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous.
Yeah.
It's more Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Yeah. The name I was trying to think of, Roy Blunt, was the one that Boner beat. I got to be careful the way I use that guy's name as far as sentence structure is concerned. He's the one that Boner beat. Roy Blunt. God, that's a loaded sentence. Ben Silverstein, Long Island, wrote in, Mike, oops, gave your last name there, Ben, sorry. Raisin Brain said the two of his father's favorite people turned 60 this year. Himself, Raisin Brain, and President Clinton. He didn't say anything about his mother that time. Yeah, and I've got a lot of emails here from people who can pretty much see through the Clinton-Bush thing. It's all about the Carlyle Group and Bill Clinton's vanity. And one thing that Bill Clinton has a load of is vanity, just like Boner, the new majority leader. All right, Ron Wyden, Democrat of Oregon, is on the committee questioning the Senate Intelligence Committee. They had a hearing today. And lo and behold, there is, in the witness chair is John Death Camp Negroponte, the new head of National Forever Intelligence, the SS dude. There he is, Negroponte. I liked him much better when he wore his black uniform with the little skull and crossbones on the cap. Huh? This is from today's Intelligence Committee hearing on worldwide threats. Worldwide pants. No, worldwide threats. We'll get into this more deeply next week when the Senate hearings on Bush's illegal spying begin. But we have just two clips of this killer tonight, especially like the part where Carl Levin asked how many Americans were wiretapped. And General Hayden, he's the Deputy Director of National Intelligence. Boy, does this guy look like someone who could put a wire around your neck and tighten it until your head snapped off and not even miss lunch. He is Death Camp Negroponte's deputy, and he wouldn't answer the question. Of course not. Now, we don't have that sound, but it was fun to watch. Here's just a couple of exchanges between Ron Wyden and the ambassador of death, John Negroponte. Wyden is incredulous that America's civil civil liberties are being protected while Bush is listening to our phone calls.
To me, just because effective intelligence gathering requires a high degree of secrecy,
be careful,
the Bush administration can't be excused from reasonable standards of accountability.
Careful.
When it's been determined that an American monitored under the NSA eavesdropping program is no longer a threat, what is done with the information collected on that U.S. person, Mr. Director?
Sir, I don't think in a...
Are there restrictions? Context. Are there restrictions on how that information is used?
Let me give you a general reply, which I think goes to your question.
Then I'll kill
Those
you.
Programs are under the strictest possible oversight.
Uh-huh.
And as far as American persons or American individuals are concerned, protections are taken. Should their names come up in various kinds of intelligence that is collected to minimize and protect their identities.
That answer isn't good enough for me. That answer is essentially, trust us. The Congress and the public just have to trust us. And Ronald Reagan put it very well. He said, trust but verify. And we have no way to verify that citizens are being protected the way you have outlined today.
Well, that's a good observation, Ron. Now, what are you going to do about it? That's right, nothing, because you can't, because you're a Democrat, because you're a United States senator, because you are irrelevant, because eventually you'll be vaporized. But I'll tell you what, you're treading on thin ice when you confront old Deathhead Negroponte there. This is the guy who knows all about exterminating people. On the Total Information Awareness Program that the Senate Intelligence Committee put a stop to, Wyden wants to know if it was secretly kept open after Congress ordered it shut down.
Mr. Director, is it correct that when John Poindexter's program, Operation Total Information Awareness, was closed, that several of Mr. Poindexter's projects were moved to various intelligence agencies. The press has reported intelligence officials saying that those programs run by Mr. Poindexter, I and others on this panel led the effort to close it. We want to know if Mr. Poindexter's programs are going on somewhere else.
I don't know the answer.
I don't know the answer, Senator Ron, but I'm going to have you killed before tomorrow lunch. How dare you ask me questions like that? What are you, Jewish? Is that a Jewish name, Wyden? Huh? I don't know the answer. I'm the head of national intelligence, but I don't know the answer. You son of a bitch!
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
Let's get things straight here, Mr. President. America's not addicted to oil. You are addicted to oil. The vast majority of Americans are troubled by our dependency on foreign oil, favor alternative energy, and want cars with better gas mileage. We may be addicted to energy, which, granted, is a big problem, but we're not addicted to oil. It's thanks to your policies that the percentage of American consumption of foreign oil has increased from 58% in 2000 to 66% today. Like the time you threatened to veto the energy bill unless a provision, which would have reduced oil consumption by 1 million barrels a day over 10 years, was removed. Or the time you requested budget cuts for 7 renewable energy programs, including research on ethanol. So we're supposed to believe that starting today, you're going to turn over a new leaf? As a former enthusiast of another pretty addictive substance, you of all people know that old habits die hard. Quitting smoking is easy, said Mark Twain. Done it 1,000 times. I'm Sam Graham Felsen for Air America Radio. For more, check out thenation.com.
Dave, you can't sit outside on the window ledge with your laptop. We're on the 19th floor.
I can't sit next to Bob. He looks terrible.
Dave, try my Emergen C. The powder in the little packet's loaded with vitamin C, B vitamins, and essential minerals. Just mix it in your water.
Ooh, it's fizzing.
That's Emergen C. It gives your immune system a boost. Now, Dave, please come back inside.
I will, for a few packets of your Emergen C. Besides, I think that pigeon just sneezed.
Emergen C for life. Find it in the vitamin C section.
I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah, with TurboTax we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20% or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Ah, vacation.
These apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. Philip Morr says it will appeal a nearly $80 million award upheld by the Oregon Supreme Court today for the family of a smoker who died of lung cancer. The court said the company misled the public for decades about the health consequences of smoking. In the ruling, the state high court says the amount is not excessive given what it calls the, quote, reprehensible conduct of Phyllis Morris in marketing cigarettes. The decision upholds a lower court ruling. It also responds to a U.S. Supreme Court decision telling Oregon courts to consider whether the award in the lawsuit against Philip Morris was excessive. A deal may be close on renewing the USA Patriot Act. The deal in the works, reportedly designed to satisfy concerns about protecting people against police intrusion without harming the war on terrorism. However, those talks stall. They're facing a deadline tomorrow for the Patriot Act to expire. So the Senate then might extend the act in its current form for another 5 weeks, apparently, till March 10th. Several Republican and Democratic officials involved in the talks said a deal is imminent, but they would not talk about details or speak for the record till the deal is final. Just before leaving for Christmas, Congress extended the Patriot Act till February 3rd rather than let it expire at the end of the year. Senate Democrats and four Republican senators had blocked the final vote on a measure negotiated by the White House that would have made most of those expiring provisions of the law permanent. They were concerned about excessive police powers. The law does make it easier for federal agents to gather and share information in terrorism investigations, install wiretaps, and conduct secret searches of households and businesses. About 13 million people, or one-fifth of the nation's Medicaid beneficiaries, will be facing new or increased copayments and premiums for doctor's visits, non-emergency hospital visits, and prescription drugs under the soon-to-be-enacted budget cuts. Those payments and premiums would be set by individual states, so they would vary. 9 million of these beneficiaries, about half of them children, exempt under the current law, would face these cost-sharing burdens for the first time. The $39 billion package of cuts passed by the House yesterday is awaiting George Bush's signature. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office estimates that by 2015, the new charges would drive 65,000 people off of the Medicaid program for poor people. This is Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley.
Welcome back. About 7 past the hour. I want to play that one more time. The soundbite we had right before the break. Senator Ron Wyden, Democrat of Oregon, who sits on the Senate Intelligence Committee. They were questioning members of the Bush crime family about things pertaining to the illegal wiretapping and illegal spying and breaking and entering of American citizens, their homes and their letters and their emails and their phone calls and their electronic transmissions. And Wyden has a couple of questions. He had several for Negroponte, Mr. Death Set himself, who is the new director of national intelligence or whatever the hell they call it. It is the American equivalent of the SS. And then, of course, this general who is Negroponte's associate assistant, who sees nothing, knows nothing, but who, if you watch any of this on television, I mean, these people all look so capable of murder. I mean, there's just no question. The kind of evil that Hannah Arendt described as banal when she was talking about Eichmann, when Hannah Arendt wrote about the Eichmann trial and how this clerk, Adolf Eichmann, just, as a matter of doing his job, sent millions to their deaths. Negroponte is of the same ilk, and so is General Abrams. Abrams, was that his name? Is it Abrams? I don't even... Who is it, Kathy? I'm trying to remember what this thug's name is. Hayden, General Hayden, Deputy Director of National Intelligence. We'll have some of that sound for you next week. But these people, as you watch them testify, even what's his name, Bush's Tejano, Gonzalez, Alberto. He was a little more animated, but he's the same way. The banality of evil, Hannah Arendt was absolutely right. It's just as common as dirt. It's not a fanged, red-eyed demon. It's gray-skinned, ugly people like Negroponte or just name them. What's his name? Poindexter, the same way. So Wyden just has a question. Wyden wants to know about what happened to the Total Information Awareness Program. Remember that? Or Total Awareness Information Program. The TIPS, whatever the hell it was called, TIPS program. That thing that had the, when they opened it up with the convicted felon and mass killer John Poindexter, who also, just like Negroponte, Poindexter made his bones on the corpses of 200,000 people in Central America in the 80s. These people are just astonishing. Astonishing! Don't you right... No, never mind. Screw the right-wingers. I don't even care anymore. You people are just dumb as snot. God. Ah! Anyway, Negroponte, Poindexter, North. The list goes on and on. Elliot Abrams, who has some secret rat hole position in the U.S. government now, in the Bush crime family. Elliot Abrams, who also, if you look at him, he looks like he eats human flesh. If you see a picture of Elliot Abrams, I've never seen anything like it. Like he's a scavenger, like he hangs out at cemeteries and waits for a burial, then runs in and digs up the corpse and starts feeding. All of these people strike me that way. They're ghouls. It's horrifying. I have nightmares about these bastards. That's why I wear garlic around my neck. Wyden wants to know what happened to the Total Awareness Information Program that Poindexter set up, the convicted felon. And Negroponte, here's the guy who's in charge of all intelligence in America. He's the one who went to Iraq as a temporary ambassador and set up the Sunni hit squads, the death squads, that are being run by former members of Saddam's Republican Guard. Negroponte cut a deal with them, said, okay, we could use private contractors for this. like people from Blackwater, USA. But no, we're going to use you. Here's how you do it. Here's how you murder people. Okay, here's how you set up death squads. We know you people know how to murder people, but you dumb bastards were too sloppy with it when Saddam was around. So here's how you do it. Here's the American way. That's what Negroponte did. He spent 4 months as interim ambassador to Iraq before we send Khalilzad Mayonnaise or whatever the hell his name is to go over there. And then they brought Negroponte back and put him in charge of national intelligence. Huh? National intelligence, right? The SS, the American SS. So Wyden just wants to know, okay, you're in charge of everything. So, I have a question for you, Mr. Director.
Mr. Director, is it correct that when John Poindexter's program, Operation Total Information Awareness, was closed, that several of Mr. Poindexter's projects were moved to various intelligence agencies?
No!
The press has reported intelligence officials saying that those programs run by Mr. Poindexter, I and others on this panel led the effort to close it. We want to know if Mr. Poindexter's programs are going on somewhere else.
Tick, 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 tick.
I don't know the answer.
I don't know the answer. You human flesh-eating pig. I don't know the answer. All right, at the National Press Club luncheon today, oh, God, but there's another membership card I have to tear up, Kathy. Rumsfeld was the speaker. Now, we'll have much more of Rummy's speech to the press club that occurred today for you tomorrow night, Friday night. Rumsfeld made lots of ridiculous and horrifying statements that have to be examined. But we just want to play this little snippet for you tonight. This is all about free speech. What happened was a female protester spoke out against the murder going on in Iraq, sanctioned by the Rumsfeld bastard, while Rumsfeld bastard was engaged in a Q&A at the podium. You know, they get it the way they do in the National Press Club. They get up and give their speech, and then people have questions, write them down, submit them to the moderator. The moderator asks the guests the questions. That's how they do it. So Rumsfeld's up there doing the Q&A part, and several of the press booed this woman and told her to shut up. Now, she was, obviously, she was escorted from the room. Then, astonishingly, the moderator apologized to Rumsfeld for the disruption in his free speech. Now, to say this is straight out of 1984 would be an understatement. If you can, imagine the press club admonishing a protester for infringing on Rummy's speech. What's next? Are they going to arrest somebody for wearing a T-shirt?
Thousands are coming this weekend to drive you out of office. You and your whole administration.
Anyway, Secretary.
This girl needs to wake up and stop this war, this criminal war. You criminals.
Shut up. Secretary, I'm sorry that your First Amendment rights were not respected at a press club that is dedicated to the First Amendment.
What? what the young woman was saying was thousands are coming this weekend to drive you out, your whole administration, stop this criminal war, you're a war criminal, and then you can hear members of the press. Now, I don't know who it was. Maybe it was just from Fox News. Maybe they're all right-wingers. I don't know. Maybe the good guys just sat there with their mouths shut. That's even worse. Why didn't they all stand up and say, yeah, Rumsfeld, you son of a bitch, answer the girl. What do you say, Rumsfeld? As a matter of fact, we are going to be on the street on the same day she is. Yeah, freaking killer. Oh, no. We can't have any of that.
Mr. Secretary, I'm sorry that your First Amendment rights were not respected at a press club that's dedicated to the First Amendment, except from riffraff little bitches like her. I don't know how she got in there. Throw her ass out! Get her out of here! Get her out of here! Get that little bitch out of here!
You have the right to free speech.
You're listening. listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The world can't wait. Drive out the Bush regime. We all heard Bush's State of the Union address Tuesday. The State of the Union is a state of emergency. Get on the bus. Stop what you're doing right now. Go to worldcan'twait.org and get your bus ticket, your plane ticket, and be in Washington, D.C. on Saturday when we demand Bush step down. The Bush regime is immoral, dangerous, and indictably criminal. We must stop it. It's time to take to the streets. Don't stop with bringing yourself to D.C. Bring your friends. Organize a bus for your block, your church, your school. Get everyone you know on the bus. It's that simple. Be in D.C. Saturday and demand Bush step down. The future is riding on it. See you in Washington, D.C. at 17th and Constitution at 11 a.m. Saturday. Bush lied. Bush spied. Bush stepped down. Get on the bus. Call 866-973-4463 and visit www.worldcan'twait.org.
The notion of being able to speak freely and with political discourse.
22 past the hour. We're going to play that for you one more time. Female protester and the moderator of the National Press Club's luncheon today with Rumsfeld, who has probably, not probably, who has spent the past 30 years involving himself to a greater degree than any other member of the Bush crime family in suppressing free speech, in lying, cheating, selling weapons to anyone who will buy. I mean, this guy is like, somebody sent me an email. He's like Reinhard Heydrich. Heydrich was second in importance to Heinrich Himmler in the Nazi SS, nicknamed the Blonde Beast by the Nazis, and Hangman Heydrich by others. Heydrich had insatiable greed for power and was a cold, calculating manipulator without human compassion who was the leading planner of Hitler's final solution, which the Nazis attempted to exterminate the entire Jewish population of Europe. Ron in Fort Wayne said that.
Rumsfeld ist ein gestoppen Sie Kreisgrund. Jawohl, ich bin ein Schlottenberger. Hier kreiden Sie.
Thousands are coming this weekend to drive you out of office during your whole administration.
Anyway, Secretary, Secretary, I'm sorry that your First Amendment rights were not respected at a press club that is dedicated to the First Amendment.
No. Hey, dumb bastard. The First Amendment pertains to the government suppressing free speech, dumb bastard. Not a young woman who is freaked out of her mind who comes in and confronts this wild-eyed monster standing at your podium. That's what the First Amendment is about, dumb bastard. It's about the government suppressing free speech. Ah, Christ.
Ich halten Sie, greiz, bruden Sie, beweiden Sie. Sieg ein Stadt, ein Volk, ein Rumsfeld.
The Senate voted today 95-1. To extend the Patriot Act another 5 weeks. The only senator with the courage to vote against it again, Russ Feingold, Wisconsin. Now, the reason they voted to extend it again is so they can rewrite some of the provisions of the Patriot Act that some people think might immediately turn us into a dictatorship. You see, they want it done more gradually. If they do it immediately, if Bush just steps out, brings another act of terror down on the United States, the way he brought down the events of September 11, 2001, if he brings down another event like that, which will truly be his Reichstag fire, and immediately rams through the American version of the Enabling Act, like Hitler did, then, see, that's too abrupt. Even the fundamentalist Christians will be hip to that one. Even the preachers will pause in their endless fundraisings to be hip to that one. So they got to do it gradually. Do it incrementally. Do it slowly. You know, the boiling frog thing. Yeah, just slowly. So Phil Spector, I know his name is Arlen, but I just love calling him Phil. Phil Spector, who chairs that committee, that Senate committee, Judiciary Committee? Is that where it's coming from? He says, okay, well, we need this Patriot Act, but we need to shape some of the fine points of it. You know, we've got to make it even more difficult for the American public to understand what's really going on while we cart them away. By the way, FEMA, have you got those camps ready? They're getting ready. Okay, that's good. Yeah, because I'm soon going to die of cancer, so I won't be around to witness it, but I just want to make sure the camp's ready. Oh, good. Okay. Sieg Heil, I know. And to listen to journalists laughing and booing this young woman who is saying thousands are coming to drive you out, stop this war, you're a war criminal. And journalists, couldn't be. Booing her and laughing at her and telling her to shut up.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Oh, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy. Taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. In the time you own three or four other vacuums, my 8-pound Orrick XL will still be going strong. But if you're going to love an Orrick XL for another reason, it's hypoallergenic. Whatever it picks up stays inside the bag. So try an Orrick XL free for 30 days or for free literature, call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. With an Orrick XL, there's never a foul odor or a cloud of dust in your face.
If you take vitamin E, listen up. This is Larry King to tell you about a different form of vitamin E, Ester E. I take Ester E because it's not like any other vitamin E. Only Ester E protects its antioxidant benefits until your body is ready to use it. And because it's all natural, it's readily absorbed. So do what I do. Take Ester E. E-S-T-E-R-E. Advanced protection. Ester protection.
Look for Ester E and Ester C everywhere vitamins are sold.
Dave, you can't sit outside on the window ledge with your laptop. We're on the 19th floor.
I can't sit next to Bob. He looks terrible.
Dave, try my Emergen C, the powder in the little packets loaded with vitamin C, B vitamins, and essential minerals. Just mix it in your water.
Oh, it's fizzy.
That's Emergen C. It gives your immune system a boost. Now, Dave, please come back inside.
I will, for a few packets of your Emergen C. Besides, I think that pigeon just sneezed.
Emergen C for life. Find it in the vitamin C section.
a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
From Craig in Boone, North Carolina. Mike, you are so correct. Alito, Hayden, Poindexter, Negroponte, Cheney, Rove, Hastert, Kissinger, et al. Look at them. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine these pasty, bloated, spectacled, evil incarnates in their Einsatzgruppen uniforms looking like, oh, say, Heydrich, Goering, Himmler, Mengele, and Eichmann? Don't. You'll have a nightmare that will last a week. Yeah, I know. The comparison is real tenuous at this point, but what the hell? You know, these are old men. The people around Hitler were young when the destruction of Europe began. Gotta hate them. When we left off last night, Winston is at work in his cubicle, and his assignment is to eliminate historical references to someone named Withers, and in the manner that the Ministry of Truth did that. That was Winston's job, to alter the past, which altered the present, which allowed you to control past, present, and future. Winston did not know why Withers had been disgraced. Perhaps it was for corruption or incompetence. Perhaps Big Brother was merely getting rid of a too popular subordinate. Perhaps Withers or someone close to him had been suspected of heretical tendencies. Or perhaps, what was likeliest of all, the thing had simply happened because purges and vaporizations were a necessary part of the mechanics of government. The only real clue lay in the words, refs unperson SM, which indicated that Withers was already dead. You could not invariably assume this to be the case when people were arrested. Sometimes they were released and allowed to remain at liberty for as much as a year or two before being executed. Very occasionally, some person whom you had believed dead long since would make a ghostly reappearance at some public trial where he would implicate hundreds of others by his testimony before vanishing, this time forever. Withers, however, was already an unperson. He did not exist. He had never existed. Winston decided that it would not be enough simply to reverse the tendency of Big Brother's speech. It was better to make it deal with something totally unconnected with its original subject. He might turn the speech into the usual denunciation of traitors and thought criminals, but that was a little too obvious. While to invent a victory at the front or some triumph of overproduction in the ninth three-year plan might complicate the records too much. What was needed was a piece of pure fantasy. Suddenly there sprang into his mind, ready-made as it were, the image of a certain Comrade Ogilvy, who had recently died in battle in heroic circumstances. There were occasions when Big Brother devoted his order for the day to commemorating some humble rank-and-file party member whose life and death he held up as an example worthy to be followed. Today, he should commemorate Comrade Ogilvy. It was true that there was no such person as Comrade Ogilvy, but a few lines of print and a couple of fake photographs would soon bring him into existence. Winston thought for a moment, then pulled the speak right toward him and began dictating in Big Brother's familiar style, a style at once military and pedantic, and because of a trick of asking questions and then promptly answering them, "What lessons do we learn from these facts, comrades? The lesson, which is also one of the fundamental principles of INGSOC, that..." etc., etc. That style was easy to imitate. At the age of 3, Comrade Ogilvy had refused all toys except a drum, a submachine gun, and a model helicopter. At 6, a year early, by a special relaxation of the rules, he had joined the spies. At 9, he had been a troop leader. At 11, he had denounced his uncle to the thought police after overhearing a conversation which appeared to him to have criminal tendencies. At 17, he had been a district organizer of the Junior Anti-Sex League. At 19, he had designed a hand grenade which had been adopted by the Ministry of Peace and which, at its first trial, had killed 31 Eurasian prisoners in one burst. At 23, he had perished in action. Pursued by enemy jet planes while flying over the Indian Ocean with important dispatches, he had weighted his body with his machine gun and leapt out of the helicopter into deep water, dispatches and all, an end, said Big Brother, which it was impossible to contemplate without feelings of envy. Big Brother added a few remarks on the purity and single-mindedness of Comrade Ogilvy's life. He was a total abstainer and a non-smoker, and no recreations except a daily hour in the gymnasium, and had taken a vow of celibacy, believing marriage and the care of a family to be incompatible with a 24-hour-a-day devotion to duty. He had no subject of conversation except the principles of Ingsoc, and no aim in life except the defeat of the Eurasian enemy and the hunting down of spies, saboteurs, thought criminals, and traitors generally. Winston debated with himself whether to award Comrade Ogilvy the Order of Conspicuous Merit. In the end, he decided against it because of the unnecessary cross-referencing that it would entail. Once again, he glanced at his rival in the opposite cubicle. Something seemed to tell him with certainty that Tillotson was busy on the same job as himself. There was no way of knowing whose job would finally be adopted, but he felt a profound conviction that it would be his own. Comrade Ogilvy, unimagined an hour ago, was now a fact. It struck him as curious that you could create dead men but not living ones. Comrade Ogilvy, who had never existed in the present, now existed in the past. And when once the act of forgery was forgotten, he would exist just as authentically and upon the same evidence as Charlemagne or Julius Caesar. In the low-ceilinged canteen, deep underground, the lunch queue jerked slowly forward. The room was already very full and deafeningly noisy. From the grill at the counter, the steam of stew came pouring forth with a sour metallic smell which did not quite overcome the fumes of victory gin. On the far side of the room, there was a small bar, a mere hole in the wall, where gin could be bought at 10 cents the large nip. "Just the man I was looking for," said a voice at Winston's back. He turned round. It was his friend Sim, who worked in the research department. Perhaps friend was not exactly the right word. You did not have friends nowadays. You had comrades. But there were some comrades whose society was pleasanter than that of others. Sim was a philologist, a specialist in newspeak. Indeed, he was one of the enormous team of experts now engaged in compiling the 11th edition of the Newspeak Dictionary. He was a tiny creature, smaller than Winston, with dark hair and large protuberant eyes, at once mournful and derisive, which seemed to search your face closely while he was speaking to you. "I wanted to talk to you whether you'd got any razor blades," he said. "Not one," said Winston with a sort of guilty haste. "I've tried all over the place. They don't exist any longer." Everyone kept asking for razor blades. Actually, he had two unused ones, which he was hoarding up. There had been a famine of them for months past. At any given moment, there was some necessary article which the party shops were unable to supply. Sometimes it was buttons. Sometimes it was darning wool. Sometimes it was shoelaces. At present, it was razor blades. You could only get hold of them, if at all, by scrounging more or less furtively on the free market. "I've been using the same blade for 6 weeks," he added untruthfully. The queue gave another jerk forward. As they halted, he turned and faced Sim again. Each of them took a greasy metal tray from a pile at the end of the counter. "Did you go and see the prisoners hang yesterday?" said Sim. "I was working," said Winston indifferently. "I shall see it on the flicks, I suppose." "A very inadequate substitute," said Sim. His mocking eyes roved over Winston's face. "I know you," the eyes seemed to say. "I see through you. I know very well why you didn't go to see those prisoners hanged." In an intellectual way, Sim was venomously orthodox. He would talk with a disagreeable, gloating satisfaction of helicopter raids on enemy villages and trials and confessions of thought criminals, the executions in the cellars of the Ministry of Love. Talking to him was largely a matter of getting him away from such subjects and entangling him, if possible, in the technicalities of newspeak, on which he was authoritative and interesting. Winston turned his head a little aside to avoid the scrutiny of the large dark eyes. "It was a good hanging," said Sim reminiscently. "I think it spoils it when they tie their feet together. I like to see them kicking, and above all, at the end, the tongue sticking right out, and blue, a quite bright blue. That's the detail that appeals to me." "Next, please," yelled the white-aproned prole with the ladle. Winston and Sim pushed their trays beneath the grill. Onto each was dumped swiftly the regulation lunch, a metal pannikin of pinkish-gray stew, a hunk of bread, a cube of cheese, a mug of milkless victory coffee, and one saccharin tablet. "There's a table over there under that telescreen," said Sim. "Let's pick up a gin on the way." The gin was served out to them in handless china mugs. They threaded their way across the crowded room and unpacked their trays onto the metal-topped table, on one corner of which someone had left a pool of stew, a filthy liquid mess that had the appearance of vomit. Winston took up his mug of gin, paused for an instant to collect his nerve, and gulped the oily-tasting stuff down. When he had winked the tears out of his eyes, he suddenly discovered that he was hungry. He began swallowing spoonfuls of the stew, which, in among its general sloppiness, had cubes of spongy, pinkish stuff, which was probably a preparation of meat. Neither of them spoke again till they had emptied their pannikins. From the table at Winston's left, a little behind his back, someone was talking rapidly and continuously, a harsh gabble almost like the quacking of a duck, which pierced the general uproar of the room. "How is the dictionary getting on?" said Winston, raising his voice to overcome the noise. "Slowly," said Sim. "I'm on the adjectives. It's fascinating." He had brightened up immediately at the mention of newspeak. He pushed his pannikin aside, took up his chunk of bread in one delicate hand and his cheese in the other, and leaned across the table so as to be able to speak without shouting. "The 11th edition is the definitive edition," he said. "We're getting the language into its final shape, the shape it's going to have when nobody speaks anything else. When we've finished with it, people like you will have to learn it all over again. You think, I dare say, that our chief job is inventing new words, but not a bit of it. We're destroying words, scores of them, hundreds of them, every day. We're cutting the language down to the bone. The 11th edition won't contain a single word that will become obsolete before the year 2050.
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
Hi, I'm David Orrick. A leading consumer testing magazine warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums or wear a dust mask. But here's a better idea. Try my newest 8-pound Orrick XL Free for 30 days. It cleans the air as it vacuums your floors. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. Then if you still want a bagless vacuum, I'll send you a dust mask to wear.
Thank you.
ready for a liberal helping of truth? It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 8 before the hour. Andre sent me an email about the laughter in the press club and the booing of the young woman who was protesting Rumsfeld's murderous war. And Andre writes regarding the yelling at the protester by members of the press corps and the laughter. Andre writes, shocking. What has become of our country? Journalists laughing at the very person they're supposed to serve. Now, masochists that they are, they lovingly cuddle a person who has nothing but contempt for them. This answers the question why no news of any protest is reported. Yeah, and that what Andre says here, they cuddle a person who has nothing but contempt for them. That is so true. Does anybody doubt the utter contempt that Rumsfeld has for anybody connected to any segment of media in this country? He loathes them. They are just pains in the ass to him. They are non-persons, if he can make them unperson, non-person, vaporize them, eliminate them, get them away. They do ugly things. I produce photographs of Rumsfeld himself shaking hands with Saddam as they ink a deal for poison gas to kill people all over the Middle East. You know, that's the pesky nuisance of journalists. There is a record until it goes down the memory hole, and this is what is necessary. We're almost there. We're almost there. We don't have a memory hole operation yet. Not one as efficient as Orwell saw it, not as efficient as the one run by the Ministry of Truth, not as efficient as the one at which Winston Smith works. No. We have the second best thing to that. We have a national media who cares, with few exceptions, cares not a tinker's damn, will not report on these sorts of things. What? Bush and Blair conspired to commit monstrous acts of illegality even though they knew they were illegal, were concerned about? You mean Bush was going to disguise American fighter bomber planes to look like United Nations planes in order to seduce Saddam into shooting one down? Jesus Christ, these are the ramblings of 15-year-old psychotic boys. No offense to the young boys who listen to this program. No offense, guys. You know what I'm talking about. It's just incredible that the media would boo. And then the moderator. I've listened to the National Press Club luncheon on NPR. What, Kathy? Every Wednesday. That's when I hear it. I guess it's I always hear the recorded, 6 days later. But I listen to the National Press Club luncheon on NPR. For what? 10 years? 15 years? They've had some amazing guests. They've had mass killers show up and speak. And the questions directed to the mass killers were usually incisive and pointed. Years ago, I remember one time, I think Kissinger showed up there.
His speech about, well, this, it is necessary to murder every single human being in Indochina. Because is there a toilet nearby? I have this bowel problem.
Even Kissinger was interviewed, and some of the reporters would get a little pointed for the questions. Not anymore. Here stands somebody arguing, Rumsfeld has a way to go to equal the murder conducted by Kissinger. Kissinger is real close to some of the organized, some of the killers, recent historical killers who organized mass death for the Stalin regime, for the Mao regime, for the Pol Pot regime, for the Hitler regime. Kissinger is very close. He's way ahead of the people organized death for the Chileans. Kissinger, though, is in a class by himself. He really is. He is he's an intellectual. He's Jewish. He should know better. You know, where was his mother? You know, he should know better, this boy. It's not nice going around the world killing people like this. But Rumsfeld shows up. And members of the National Press Corps protect him from someone who accuses him of waging an illegal war. It's astonishing.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
I had no idea premature aging started with freckles and sunspots. Had I known that, I would have used Activate a long time ago. I'm Tina, and I'm 38 and flawless.
I hated admitting my skin was leathery with blotchy age spots. The sooner I faced that reality, the sooner I used Activate. Activate stopped the spots. You just dab it on. Now I look like I did 10 years ago. I feel younger, my skin is fresh looking and smooth. My name is Linda, I'm 52, and flawless.
Activate reversed my age spots and gave my skin a youthful glow without any harsh chemicals. It's by far the best product I've ever used. It's easy and it works 24/7. My name is Brenda, and I'm 45 and flawless.
Call right now for your risk-free trial of Activate at 1-800-507-3610. That's 1-800-507-3610. Fade age spots on your face, hands, and neck. Call 1-800-507-3610. Ask how to get a free supply with your order. Call 1-800-507-3610.
Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. With U.S. national elections 9 months away, the Republican Party looked to get the House of Representatives in order Thursday, choosing Ohio's John Boehner as the new majority leader. He succeeds Texas Congressman Tom DeLay, who stepped down from the post last year amid an ethics scandal tied to lobbyists. Political analyst Larry Sabato says Boehner's first order of business must be to push for lobbying reform. The White House will ask Congress for an additional $70 billion in emergency funds for the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. The new war funds are in addition to the $320 billion the White House Budget Office says has been allocated for the effort so far. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says the war on terror is different than any other conflict America has seen. He told the National Press Club Thursday there is no draft or war bonds, and the enemy is not a nation or even one group, but rather several terrorist organizations operating in many countries.
Because of the differences in this struggle, there's not the same sense of immediacy as there was in other wars.
Yet the threat today may well prove to be more dangerous than any our country has faced.
He said the only way for the U.S. to lose is if the nation loses its will. He compared it to the start of the Cold War, citing President Eisenhower and others who talked about a long struggle ahead. Three Australian men accused of being part of a drug smuggling gang in Bali have pleaded for mercy from Indonesian authorities. One of the defendants, Scott Rush, says he was tricked into taking part in the scheme by alleged ringleader Andrew Chan.
I swear with all the consequences, I did not know the bad plan of Andrew Chan and his friends to export narcotics.
The trio, alleged to have been members of the so-called Bali Nine, say they are innocent and were simply in the wrong place at the wrong time. Prosecutors are demanding life sentences for the men who had previously refused to cooperate in their joint trial. For the second time since they moved into the International Space Station, the two astronauts living aboard the floating science lab will be taking a walk outside. The two will be deploying an amateur radio transmitter that is attached to an old Russian space suit. The transmitter will send signals back to Earth capable of being picked up in classrooms. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're going to go to your phone phone calls here very quickly. The other thing that caught my eye today was the cartoonist who, or the political cartoonist who works for the Washington Post, Tom Tolles. I'm sure you're familiar with his work. I love his work almost as much as I like our guy here at the Journal Constitution. But you know this now. Tolles today in the Washington Post had a cartoon illustration, a veteran in bed with his head bandaged up, an obvious quadruple amputee with bandages on the stumps where his arms and legs had been. And standing by the bedside is a nurse that's Rumsfeld. And what was the caption, Kathy? The caption was
something about you're not really injured. You're battle hardened, or
right. You're battle hardened. And the chart at the foot of the bed showed I think U.S. military with the line descending almost off the page. Well, the point that Tolles was trying to make, obviously, you know what it is, and it was very clear to me too. I mean, how long does it take to look at one of those political cartoons and zang? It just slams at you the utter disdain and contempt that Rumsfeld and every member of the Bush crime family, cowards all, not a military man among them or a woman, every single one of them, just a war whore. Just they just love it. They as long as somebody else fights and dies. They're sickening. They're disgusting. So it was very clear what Tolles was trying to say. That the Bush crime family doesn't even acknowledge dismemberment and death and injury, catastrophic injury, the sort of injury that it's never going to go away. I mean, how many thousands upon thousands upon thousands of American soldiers are coming home minus arms and legs and parts of their skull and brain damaged and major organs gone and mentally just scrambled. We have more of these kinds of injuries I've been reading than ever before as a percentage of people who have served in this hideous attack against Iraq than other wars. And the reason for it simply is in the past these people would have died. These soldiers would have died. They never would have made it off the battlefield, much less to the hospitals in Germany and then back to the United States. And they're being shipped home and turned loose. And it's horrifying. It's just horrifying. And the Bush crime family promises to produce thousands more. This is obscenity. Come on. Even you right-wingers, even you Bush suckers, don't you understand? Don't you understand? What if this was your father or your son or your brother, armless or legless or permanent brain injury, half his skull and 5% of his brain blown away by a roadside explosive device in a place that American soldiers never should have been sent? Never. Never, never, never. And that's what Tolles was trying to get across in the cartoon. So what happens today? What happens today? All of the members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff sign off on a letter saying that this, I forget what the letter, I don't know what the letter said. I think Buf Blitza had it, or Paula Zahn had it. But it expressed the disappointment or anger or contempt that these Joint Chiefs felt for what Tom taught. In other words, they missed the point completely.
Actually, what I saw in the news, just a minor correction, was that the cartoon was in reference that the soldier in the hospital bed represented the entire military, because Rumsfeld was peppered with questions last week in a briefing about how the military is fragmented and it's
right.
Falling apart. Not a specific troop exactly.
Right. I get that. But if you are signifying the entire military, you are also signifying individual wounded soldiers. You can't not. So, yeah, it goes both ways. Both situations, the individual soldier and the military in general. But the fact that, what is there, five joint chiefs and all of them signed off on this statement. However, tellingly, the commander of the disabled American veterans said he understood Tom Toll's cartoon perfectly and agreed. I'm paraphrasing. Agreed. It made sense. It was true. It was spot on. Hit the target. I sometimes wonder how members of the Bush crime family or members of Congress can play the way they play. You know, jokey, jokey, ha-ha, grab ass. Oh, guess what? We're being investigated. Whoop-de-doo. Just the jokey, jokey thing, right? While American soldiers, men and women, have you been following this story about the women who died, women soldiers, Americans who died of dehydration because they were terrified of being raped and wouldn't go take a leak in the middle of the night? They wouldn't urinate. They wouldn't go to the urinals. The former commander of Abu Ghraib prison, Colonel Janice Karpinski, told a panel of judges at the Commission of Inquiry for Crimes Against Humanity committed by the Bush administration that several women had died of dehydration because they refused to drink liquids late in the day. They were afraid of being assaulted or raped by male soldiers if they had to use a women's latrine after dark. And who covered this up? Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, the former senior U.S. military commander in Iraq, gave orders to cover up the cause of death for these soldiers, these female soldiers. These sons of bitches are not kidding. If you have a son, or God forbid a daughter, who's even thinking about joining the military, please do everything you can to prevent that from happening. Please, this is your son. Please don't go off half-cocked about with some sense of that this would be a patriotic act. Look in the faces of these soldiers' families, the ones that are dead, the ones that are just literally dumped at the family's doorsteps, coming back from what is an atrocity, a war crime. For Christ's sake, don't you understand that? We are not involved in a war. We are involved in a monstrous war crime. Can you not sort that out? Nobody from Iraq attacked us. Jesus God. Karpinski testified that a surgeon for the coalition's joint task force in Iraq said that, quote, women in fear of getting up in the hours of darkness to go to the portalettes or the latrines were not drinking liquids after 3 or 4 in the afternoon. And in 120-degree heat, because there was no air conditioning at most of the facilities, they were dying from dehydration in their sleep. And rather than make anybody aware of that, because that's shocking, what they told the surgeon to do is don't brief out those details anymore and don't say specifically that they're women. Sanchez's attitude, according to Karpinski, was, quote, the women asked to be here, so now let them take what comes with the territory, end quote. Oh, you son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. How about that? You have a daughter who wants to join Sanchez's military? Get a hold of this testimony and show it to your daughter. Huh?
Don't know the stars. Peace to give up.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah. With TurboTax, we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Ugh, vacation.
These apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
If you're not outraged, then you're just not paying attention. It's Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's about 21 past the hour. Last thing here. This is from West Warwick, Rhode Island. A seventh grader who wrote an essay saying his perfect day would involve doing violence to President George W. Bush is being investigated by the Secret Service. Yeah, it's a seventh grader. The unidentified boy from West Warwick turned in the essay on Tuesday, and his teacher alerted school officials. The assignment was to write about what he would do on a perfect day. Thomas Power, Secret Service resident agent in charge in Providence, said the investigation is ongoing, but the essay may have been, quote, a cry for help, end quote. Threatening the president is a felony, Agent Powers said. The one-page essay also said the student wanted to kill Oprah Winfrey, hurt executives at Coca-Cola and Walmart, and attack a Walgreens pharmacy. That's according to the Providence Journal. School Superintendent David Raich said, quote, his perfect day would be to see the destruction of all these people, end quote. Superintendent Raich said the student felt the companies were doing inappropriate things. He said the student had been barred temporarily from coming back to school, but as a mental health rather than disciplinary precaution. The essay did not threaten anyone at school, did not detail specific plans for an attack, Police Detective Sergeant Fernando Arujo said. School Board Chairman Daniel Burns Jr. said, quote, he was writing a letter threatening everyone on the planet. He was just mad at the world, end quote. Jesus. Jesus Christ. Oh, man. I remember when I was in fifth, sixth, seventh grade, some of the stuff I used to write. Woo! All right. Let's do some phone calls. Let's start with Dave, who is calling. I'm sorry, let's not start with Dave. We'll get to Dave in a second. Let's start with Dominic, who's calling from Texas. Dominic, welcome to the program. Hey, Dominic.
Yes.
You're on the radio.
Okay. I had you on speaker. I was on the internet.
Welcome to the program, Dominic.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
The reason I was calling was I live in Texas, and I have to hear so many of my friends are Republican.
Right.
And I still have people that are defending Bush and the administration. And so I went on and to the internet and wrote every senator in Texas and then the two that matter, I guess, Corinne and Kate Bailey Hutchinson, and never got a return from her or Florence Shapiro that are you know, my district. And was just really concerned about the state of the media. How come no one is questioning all the fumbles and really horrible screw-ups?
Well, the quick answer, Dominic, they're not allowed to anymore. They're not allowed to ask those kinds of questions. This is Bush's America. Let me ask you something. You said your friends who are Republicans. I have to ask you, how do you remain friends with people who are Republicans or Bush supporters? How do you do that?
I live in Texas, but it's been really hard because even this friend that I argue with all the time is jobless, and that even makes me more. That's how staunch Republican they are, and it's hard because he's actually, with my cousin. They're not married, but he's been with them, forever. He's the one Republican that I'm good friends with, and then my father's Republican as well, and it has really affected our relationship. Just, we can't even talk politics anymore because I feel like the Republican politics are just so violent and ugly.
Well, what do you know? What is it your dad sees that makes him remain a Bush supporter or Republican? I assume he's a Bush supporter, a Republican.
Well, he owns a restaurant, and he feels like it's in his best interest as far as tax reasons to be a Republican, and then he's a convenient Catholic, which...
Okay, I got you.
You know what I mean?
For
the abortion rules, and then I always tell him, well, you can't be for the death penalty and then against abortion.
Well, let me ask you, is your dad aware, Dominic, that under 8 years of Clinton, the abortion rate in this country plunged, and as soon as Bush got into power, the abortion rate started to accelerate again?
Yeah, we tell him these things.
And he doesn't care.
These things, and he just you don't believe us. It's liberal left-wing craziness. And that's what's been the response to anything I say, is that it's just, you're just liberal, and I'm independent.
Right.
I'm disgusted with it. The Republicans are corrupt scumbags who take poor people and turn them into the poorest people.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I hear you, Dominic. Listen, I have to leave it there because we're coming up on a break. Thanks for checking in. Be careful. Try not to totally get alienated from your old man. Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah. No. Seriously. Seriously. Take care, Dominic. We'll talk again. This is Air America.
I hate Republicans. I hate Republicans, baby. I can't stand those Republicans. I hate the old Republican Party. Come back.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The world can't wait. Drive out the Bush regime. We all heard Bush's State of the Union address Tuesday. The State of the Union is a state of emergency. Get on the bus. Stop what you're doing right now. Go to worldcan'twait.org and get your bus ticket, your plane ticket, and be in Washington, D.C. on Saturday when we demand Bush step down. The Bush regime is immoral, dangerous, and indictably criminal. We must stop it. It's time to take to the streets. Don't stop with bringing yourself to D.C. Bring your friends. Organize a bus for your block, your church, your school. Get everyone you know on the bus. It's that simple. Be in D.C. Saturday and demand Bush step down. The future is riding on it. See you in Washington, D.C. at 17th and Constitution at 11 a.m. Saturday. Bush lied. Bush spied. Bush stepped down. Get on the bus. Call 866-973-4463 and visit www.worldcan'twait.org.
I had no idea premature aging started with freckles and sunspots. Had I known that, I would have used Activate a long time ago. I'm Tina, and I'm 38 and flawless.
I hated admitting my skin was leathery with blotchy age spots. The sooner I faced that reality, the sooner I used Activate. Activate stopped the spots. You just dab it on. Now I look like I did 10 years ago. I feel younger, my skin is fresh looking and smooth. My name is Linda, I'm 52 and flawless.
Activate reversed my age spots and gave my skin a youthful glow without any harsh chemicals. It's by far the best product I've ever used. It's easy and it works 24/7. My name is Brenda, and I'm 45 and flawless.
Call right now for your risk-free trial of Actifade at 1-800-507-3610. That's 1-800-507-3610. Fade age spots on your face, hands, and neck. Call 1-800-507-3610. Ask how to get a free supply with your order. Call 1-800-507-3610.
We'll be right back.
The world has waited a long time for Mr. Saddam Hussein to disarm.
He'll say, oh, I'm disarming, after he said he has no arms.
Jesus.
And the horrible part, of course, aside from the fact that everything the Bush bastard says is horrible, the horrible part is he and everyone in his crime family knew specifically and exactly that Saddam had nothing. That Saddam only existed because the Nixon crime family and the Reagan crime family propped him up and kept him alive. It's just so horrifying when you think about it. I can't get my mind around it most of the time. And what is literally impossible to get my mind around is the fact that right-wingers in this country support this son of a bitch. What I really can't get my mind around is that people like Hannity and Limbaugh and this whole stable of bleating, earth-pawing thugs. Where is the honor? Where is any sense of honor? I mean, Hannity and Limbaugh and Michael Regan and the list goes on and on. These people are human beings. I mean, they really are. They have family. They must have a circle of friends. Every one of them had a mother and a father. How can these people support what is happening in this country? And they know, they're not stupid people. Hannity, Limbaugh, they're not stupid. They know. They know what really happened, just like you do, just like I do. And yet they continue to spread this filth all over the country every day. These are traitors. They have to. That's the only thing I can think of. They want to see the United States collapse because they figure they're on top. And those of us who are not on top will provide a cushion for their asses as everything comes cascading down. People like Limbaugh and Hannity and the right wingers will have. I'm not talking about the run of the mill right wingers. They are cannon fodder just like the rest of us. But these right wingers on top who are continuing, even though they know the truth, continue to spread the lies. I guess they figure when it all collapses, of their doing, they want the United States to collapse, that their asses will be padded and taken care of as they fall on the rest of us. I can't understand this. I just can't. I just know and that when the lights go out that, I get both of them, okay? You pick your own. I get those two. When I think about what they have done, what they have done in terms of, nobody's asking a Limbaugh or a Hannity to become a liberal or a Democrat. But does that mean they can't be honest? They can't support the documents on which this country was founded? That they can't support the idea that this is a murderous, psychopathic son of a bitch who's in control of the government? Do they think that they're going to be any different from Representative Young's wife who had a pro-war message on her chest and she got removed? Is that what they think? They think that they can collapse into the pile of bodies and they'll be padded and protected. But don't they understand that when the Bush crime family takes over, the Limbaughs and the Hannitys are going to be some of the first to be put up against the wall and shot? Don't they know that? Are they incapable of reading history? Do they know who Beria, who ran Stalin's secret police? What's his first name? Leventi? What is Beria's first name? Damn it. God, it's just rough getting old and not being able to recall everything. But the head of the Soviet secret police, who was... did everything for Stalin except what Monica did for Bill. And when the time came, a bullet in the back of the head. It's not by Stalin. Beria was alive when Stalin died. I'm just talking about the purges. And prior to that, the Stalin purges. How many people who would have died for Uncle Joe like Hannity and Limbaugh. Well, they won't die for Bush, but they'd be willing to give their lives to see America collapse. Don't they understand? It's not going to be the liberals or the queers or black folk that go up against the wall at the beginning. It's going to be people like them. They don't get that, do they? I guess they don't. I guess they don't. Some phone calls? Okay, that'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? Oh, my God. Brother Sky Blue. Okay, everybody take a deep breath. We have Brother Sky Blue here ready to rock. Brother Sky, welcome to the program.
Golly gee shucks, Mike. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
You know, even though we're supposed to have access to the airwaves in America and everybody, Larry King used to just let the phone ring, and when it's your time to talk, he'd pick up and say, hi, where are you calling from?
Brother Sky? Brother Sky? What was that, 20? Less than 20 seconds, I think. God. All right.
We love you, Brother Sky.
Who is the woman from Memphis that called in last week after Brother Sky, and she said she would look for him? What was her name? Mary? Mary was going to look for a white street preacher who was a follower of Emanuel Swedenborg. That should be easy to find in Memphis, Tennessee.
With a very, very faulty cell phone.
Bill is calling from Atlanta. Bill, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
A couple of points of information, very short. You got the name of Boner exactly right.
Uh-huh.
It's German. I heard earlier in Air America it's French-Canadian, but that's completely wrong. Perfectly right, Boner, except in German the R is a little more guttural, but it means a scrubber or a polisher. Now, remember the little ditty in Pirates of Penzance? He polished up the handle so carefully that now he's the ruler of the Queen's Navy? Aren't these guys all sycophants, every one of them?
Every one of them. Every one of them.
Second point.
Plus, they like to commit murder. What happened to Bill? We lost Bill?
Bill!
Yo.
Oh, there you are. Okay, go ahead. We lost you there.
General Hayden, can't the Senate revoke the commission of a sitting general? And would it do so if Caligula weren't emperor?
well, yes, yes, and yes.
And I got a lot of Democratic friends, a lot of Democrat friends, too.
Yeah.
But the politicians they support are not.
Well, that's true. Me, too. Mm. Me, too.
Okay, keep up the good work. And in Atlanta, there's still seats on the bus for D.C.
I'm aware of that. Bill, thanks for checking in, pal. You know, somebody emailed me and said his name is pronounced Boehner. No, it's not. It's Boner. Will is calling from Michigan. Will, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. All the guys in the AAR chat room are laughing their asses off about how many times you've said Boner tonight.
Well, that's his name. what am I going to do? I didn't name him. That's his name. I'm not going to play around, though, and pretend like his name is Boehner. It's not. It's Boner.
Well, anyway, what I called to talk about was Cindy Sheehan. I've been following the blogs past couple days, and I've seen even some of her supporters criticize her. Saying that she's not very media savvy and all that. And as far as I'm concerned, they can just shut the hell up unless they've sacrificed as much as she has.
Right. You know, why does somebody have to be media savvy? What does that mean? You know, she's not. I don't think Cindy Sheehan. I'm not saying she would deny the presence of a camera. She has a message she wants to get out. She can't reach George Bush the way. Jack Abramoff can reach George Bush. Cindy Sheehan is just an average American who happened to have her son murdered by George Bush. So if there's a camera available, I'm sure she'll turn to it and give her spiel. But she is not media savvy. Why should she be, right?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. She is a mother who had part of her heart torn out by these bastards and stomped on. And every single day they stomp on her again and again and again. But I'll tell you what, every time she has any kind of a dust up with Bush, she wins.
Well, I'm a veteran, and I've lost a few friends in this war, but I don't claim to have sacrificed as much as Cindy has.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. All right, thanks, Will.
Thanks.
I appreciate you checking in. Lavrenti, Lavrenti Beria, thanks to, I think it's one of our listeners in Hawaii, Lavrenti Beria, and also LMB. Thanks, everybody. Billy is calling from Rhode Island. Billy, welcome to the program.
Hello, how you doing, Mike? Thank you. You are godsend. Mike, I just wish the people could just walk out to Arlington Cemetery, these people that are so apathetic about what's going on, and just look at all of the crosses out there.
I know.
And just say to themselves, well, these people gave their life for nothing. George Washington, all of them, in Valley Forge, it was for nothing because we turned around and we gave this country back. And that's the sad thing about it. And as far as the news media, when they fired the shot and got rid of Dan Rather, it put fear in the rest of the news media. And that's what's happening.
Yeah.
And Mike, you tell me this here. How do you frighten someone who's willing to step on a bomb and kill himself?
I don't think you can. I don't think you can. That's the ridiculous part of all this. If Bush or any regime in any country thinks that they can scare suicide bombers, they must be insane.
I mean, it don't make any sense. I mean, I've seen this before. I saw it 25, 30 years ago in Vietnam. So, you know, I look at the American people and they believe in these lies that they can win. I mean, you know, common sense should have told them if Saddam was a threat, if he had a nuclear bomb, what could he have done with it? He know if he had shot it or detonated over here, this country would have disappeared. I mean, do people use common sense or rationality?
Well, in on the other hand, how in the hell was he going to get it here, Billy? No, they don't use common sense. They don't use a rational thought. The Bush crime family, they are fear mongers. They are subhuman, and they're going to continue as long as they can. Billy, thanks for checking in, man. Take care. Watch your back. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Technology. Radical ideology of hate.
Terror, a threat.
Terror.
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 War on terrorism.
War against terrorism.
Global war on terror.
Global terrorism.
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 Evil terrorists.
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 Terrorists,
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 terrorists.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
You're already doing what's hard for your health. You diet.
That's hard.
You do regular exercise.
That's harder.
You even get a colonoscopy.
The hardest.
If your doctor says you're at risk for a heart attack, he could tell you that adding Bayer low dose is a simple way to help prevent one out of three heart attacks.
Now that's simple.
Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. Bayer low dose. A little does a lot.
ready for a liberal helping of truth? It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 7:30 before the hour. Thanks to Justin Nguyen and Jason Isaac, who engineered the program in New York City tonight. Dee Neal is our associate producer and handles your phone calls. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Mark Marshall is our webmaster. Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, archives the program. If you have a few bucks to make a contribution to WhiteRoseSociety.org, go to the website. He uses PayPal and, you know, maybe make a contribution. I know. Never stops, does it? But White Rose archives an awful lot of programs. And if you're downloading those programs, once in a while, you know, drop something on him. It's the way it works in Bush's America, okay? Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Catherine Bay is our senior producer. Or executive producer. What the hell are you, executive producer?
I'm my kid's mom. And speaking of which, you can see new pictures of little Molly in the gallery at MikeMalloy.com.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Rex is calling from New Orleans. Rex, welcome to the program.
Yes. Ever since you mentioned Barry, it just my early Alzheimer's is setting in. Who was the Bolshevik? Was Lenin's compatriot that was exiled to Mexico City before they put a pickaxe in his brain?
Oh, that was oh no.
Yeah, I know. You and I both, right?
That was, he would have been a real post-revolution, probably an honest leader of Russia or what became the Soviet Union.
And all of a sudden, I've gone blank.
Yeah, so have I. This is
horrible. I know his name like I know. And I, ever since you mentioned Barry, I can't. Here's the point, though. You know, remember the first editor of The Nation magazine?
I don't.
All right, but he was a great Stalinist apologist, right?
And a lot of lefties were right after.
Yeah, this is even after the show trials. That's what marked him above and beyond, okay? Look, I'll be very honest with you. I'm a rock rib Republican, PhD, okay?
Uh-huh.
And a Vietnam veteran that's flown 2 combat tours in Vietnam. So I think I've got my blood in the water on that deal. But here's the deal. So what he said of the editor of The Nation, who continued to believe in Stalin after everybody knew that the show trials were exactly what they were, he said, you know, this is what, sometimes I listen to you and listen to you going around the bend. He said, you know, our comrade, he says, all of us are, he spoke of the editor of The Nation. He says, you know, all of us are entitled to our fair share of stupidity in this world's life. But he says, our comrade at The Nation is abusing his privilege. And I think that sort of applies to you sometimes, Mike. You're an intelligent guy, but you're around the bend and over the top.
On what specifically are you referring to?
Just your whole approach in general, you know.
Be specific.
Out of your verbiage, crime family.
Well, what do you call it? Have they not committed criminal acts?
Well, no. See, you should listen to Talleyrand.
Wait a second.
You should take heed the words of Talleyrand.
Screw Talleyrand. Screw Talleyrand. I'm not interested in Talleyrand.
No, Mike.
I call them criminal. Pot him down. I'm not going to try to talk over, especially not a right winger. I call it a crime family because they have committed crimes. You say you're lying to me when you say you served in Vietnam. I know damn good and well you didn't, because if you did, if you had served, you would not tolerate this sort of behavior from a commander in chief. You know that as well as I do. You don't commit people to battle based on a lie. Are you out of your freaking mind? Get off my phone, get off my program, and don't come back. All right? And you right wingers who want to claim military service, who never put on a uniform except maybe a Boy Scout uniform when you were 12 years old, stay away. I'm not interested in you. And you give yourselves away immediately when you defend a commander-in-chief who would commit soldiers to battle based on a lie. You cowardly bastards, don't come back here again, especially this New Orleans freak. You probably didn't even call from New Orleans. Probably calling from Chevy Chase, Maryland or someplace. God, I hate that. I hate people that claim military service when, as soon as they open their mouths, it's obvious that we're probably a draft evader. Jesus. Hey, thanks for participating tonight, even this last freak. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. When I created the 8-pound Orrick XL, I created a new category of vacuum. It's hypoallergenic. And why is hypoallergenic so important? Because it offers incredible filtration and traps over 99.99% down to 0.3 microns of that nasty dust that carries germs. Call 1-800-989-4200 for free literature or 30-day home trial. Because cleanliness is next to Orrickness.
Dave, you can't sit outside on the window ledge with your laptop. We're on the 19th floor.
I can't sit next to Bob. He looks terrible.
Dave, try my Emergen-C. The powder in the little packets loaded with vitamin C, B vitamins, and essential minerals. Just mix it in your water.
Oh, it's fizzing.
That's Emergen-C. It gives your immune system a boost. Now, Dave, please come back inside.
I will, for a few packets of your Emergen-C. Besides, I think that pigeon just sneezed.
Emergen-C for life. Find it in the vitamin C section.